Shalom everyone and Chodesh Tov. We are right now entering the month of Kislev, the sign of Sagittarius. This is a special month, the month of miracles, the month of Hanukkah. Many of the commentaries about this month are dealing with this special holiday. However, we have to analyze the original forces behind this special month. Okay, because the question is why the holiday of Hanukkah happens to occur in the month of Kislev, the month of Sagittarius, why not in another month? So there must be some connection between the two. So we have first to understand the meanings of this month, the month of Kislev. So let us start with some basic teachings. So when we want to understand Kabbalistically the meaning of a month, there are few ways to approach, and depends which one of them is more dominant, because in different months there are different forces that are dominant, and in the creation of the consciousness, the power, the vibration, the frequency, whatever you name it, of this special month. Again, we have to understand something that people should understand about the Kabbalistic meaning of the astrological sign of the month. First of all, a lot of people heard that there's nothing to do between Judaism, the Torah, and astrology, which is not correct. There are two kinds of astrology. The one kind of astrology is the astrology that people try to look at the stars, the planets, the signs, and from them to learn about the future, which is not so correct according to the Torah itself. So why do we need to know about astrology, in which there is a big argument in the Talmud about the need to study astrology in the tractate Shabbat? So one opinion is that you have to learn the zodiac signs because God created them, and if you do not study them, you abuse the creation of God. On the other hand, there is another opinion that says, but we have to be above the zodiac signs, so we should not even care about what the signs are saying. And most Kabbalists who are astrologers, and most Kabbalists wrote astrological text, say that basically, yes, we are supposed to be above the influence of the zodiac. However, most of us have downfalls, and we're not always at our best, and we're not always perfectly spiritual. So we need to understand the zodiac signs in order to learn how to deal with life better. However, there is another approach. You can find it in the Zohar of Parashat Yitro, in which the Zohar says that really, if you really want to check the idea of the influence of the stars upon us is not exact, which means the stars do not really influence our lives. However, so what's the base of astrology? You have the Book of Formation talks a lot about astrology, and nobody doubts that that's a major work in Jewish teachings. So how can you contradict that? And the answer is what the Zohar is saying. The world that we live in has not just the physical change, which means seasons, cold, warm, dry, wet, and all the other forces that design our daily life from the weather point of view. There's also a weather that is beyond the five senses. That's the weather of other frequencies, that the same way we see the change of the seasons, there's also a cycle of changes in the fields that we live in, the spiritual fields, the spiritual frequencies that we live in. Why did God create such changes? The basic understanding for that, the simplest way to explain it is knowing human beings. Human beings, if you let them, they will cocoon themselves, because we, although some of us want adventures and to study and to develop, but usually in most aspects, we'd like to secure our environment so it will stay steady, okay? Temperature-wise, everything. Energy, we want it to be easy, comfortable, and secure. And you know what? We do not really change when we feel comfortable and secure. As I can say many times, it never happened that a boy or a girl, baby, were born in between the contractions. They always come out during contractions. And contractions are very painful, full of pressure, and that's when we give birth to the new self. And we need, as human beings, we need a transformation. So all of those changes around us, they basically give us the background and the push for the need to constantly look for transformation, adjustment, change, growth, and a reinvention. So those forces, they are changing like the weather all around us gradually. And this is, if you read the book of formation, this is the how the universe was created. There's a special math that is very, very precise, that explains and describes the matrix that we live in and affects our lives. However, the Zohar in Parashat Ito explains, when you want to know how does a person feel, you look in their face. So where do you feel happiness? In your heart. Where do you feel worries? In your heart. Some people feel it in their belly. It doesn't matter. You have thoughts, you have brain, you have a heart. You know, you have different, but you don't really feel or think or come to conclusions in your face. However, the face reflects the feelings and the thoughts within. So the Zohar says, when we want to know what is the mood of the universe, we look at the sky, and the sky, the star constellations, they show us the feelings that, or the frequencies that we live in, as like the same way the face. It doesn't happen in the sky, in the stars. They just reflect, the creator created them. So we have a visible sign. That's why it's called signs. Visible signs about what's really going around us, so we can use them in order to grow, in order to develop our consciousness. So the other question that we need to answer is like, if we are talking about the new moon as the beginning of the zodiac sign according to the Hebrew calendar, why is that very, very important? Because there are two aspects to it. One, many systems of astrology have an argument about when does a certain sign start. And the calculation is different for different schools, because there's no There's no line in the sky that says exactly when the sun moves from one zodiac sign to another. So either you can divide it into you divide the 360 degrees of the circle into 12 exact equal regions, and you define that each one of them is a zodiac sign. However, not everybody agrees with that. So some people that are born on the cusp in the solar aspect, they don't know exactly where to put themselves. However, the Hebrew calendar solved the issue by devising the beginning of a zodiac sign with the new moon. And why is that crucially important? Because who decides about the beginning of the new moon, if it's on a certain day or another? This is the Jewish people when we bless the new moon on Shabbat, Saturday, that is before that new moon. So last Shabbat, in every synagogue on this planet, Jewish people announced that the new moon is going to be in a certain time, and the new month is starting on that time, which means we decide. What does that mean? It gives us a tool. The moment we decide when does the month is starting, which means the new moon could be on the 30th of a certain month, could be on the first of the beginning of the month, okay, could be on the 29th of the month. However, we decide when does it start, which means the moment we decide, it gives us the power to realize that we control the flow of the mazal. Mazal in Hebrew has a double meaning. One, it is a zodiac sign, but mazal means also bliss and fortune, which means if Or basically, in the more precise word, flow. We decide the flow of the forces because we have been handed the power just before we went through the Exodus, few weeks before the Exodus, on the new moon of that month of, we're talking about Aries. Some 33 centuries ago, of the Exodus, we bless the new moon. And by this, we declared that we have the control over the zodiac. And it doesn't matter how much forces are there, the moment we have the wheel, we have the ability to control, which means you can be sailing in the ocean in a boat with sails. But if you really know how the art of sailing, you know how to use the sails so the wind, instead of drowning you, will serve you and take you wherever you want to. Okay, so this is the story of declaring the new month, and by this, we also have the upper hand over the stars and the zodiac. The other side of using the forces of every month is basically learning those forces, understanding them, and by this we can manage the same way. When we understand the sails and the wind and the relationship between the sails, the wind, and the movement of the boat, then you become a master and you can sail no matter wherever. How the wind is, you can sail wherever you want to. So, the month of Kislev is the third month of the fall. Okay, and therefore, we have to start about the special connection of this month with the two letters of the month. We know the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are the basic building blocks of the universe. This is how the book of formation, Sefer Yetzirah, is teaching us. Every Hebrew letter is a number. Every Hebrew letter is also a special primordial vibration, frequency, that all 22, they are basically the result of the 10 sefirot, the 10 emanations that the universe is made of, and each one of the letters is representing another of the 22 original forces that are the building blocks of reality. You know, the truth is that if we go almost 40 years ago, when finally there was an answer to the grand unified theory that Einstein was dreaming about, when they came out with the superstrings theory, what was called later on the singularity, or whatever you name it, the fact that the universe is made of 12 basic particles that are divided into six and six, and each six is made of two triangles, and then you have 10, and those 10 are divided to three and seven, and so on. That's basically how it's structured. That's very much the description of the 22 letters and the groupings according to the book of formation. So I don't want to go into that, because not everybody loves physics and would understand that. I don't think the scientists are really getting it, but still the basic idea that the universe is made of 10 dimensions and 12 particles, and all the rest is just a basically based on the permutations and the combinations of these original 22 frequencies or forces. It's not even matter as we know with our logic. This is enough for us to realize that the teachings of Kabbalah is not just mysticism that somebody had a dream about. It's based on very, very deep wisdom that basically is explaining how this universe is made of. But let's go to what's really important over here. The two letters that are connected to the creation of that force that is called the month of Kislev and the sign of Sagittarius, or in Hebrew, Keshet. Okay? We can see that the letter Samech created Sagittarius, or Keshet in Hebrew, and the letter Gimel created Jupiter, or Tzedek in Hebrew. Okay, these two letters are very powerful letters, but we'll talk about them later on. But when you look at it, and you know some Kabbalah, you see a number that is very meaningful. Sag, Samech Gimel, is the number 63. And whoever studies Kabbalah and knows the structure of the universe according to Kabbalah, the moment you see Samech Gimel, one thing comes to your mind. And this is Sefirat Bina. Okay? When we are talking about the creation of the universe, we know that there are 10 Sefirot, 10 emanations that basically are the one of the basic foundations of this universe. These 10 sefirot could be described as concentric circles or spheres. Sefirah and a sphere, it's coming from the same source. In Hebrew, both are coming from the word sefirah, and you have the stone sapphire, which is also sapir. It's a Hebrew word that means a shining stone, shining within a limitation. So if the light of the Creator is endless without any limitation, when it shines into our universe, It must be limited because we creatures, we cannot endure endless light. We need the light to come in a limited way. Same way, although we all need electricity for many functions in our lives, however, what can we do? We cannot connect to the original electricity that is being generated in the power station. We can connect only to the electricity that is toned down when it comes to our household. Okay, the same way, the light of the endless is funneling down through a cascade of 10 sefirot, Keter, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Umalchut. Okay? Now, just for the basic understanding, those 10 are divided into the upper three, number 8, 9, and 10, Keter, Chochma, Bina, and the lower seven, which are Chesed, Til, Malchut. The lower seven, they belong to our world, to our realm of perception. And therefore, in our world, we have 7 days a week, we have a seven seas, we have seven magnetic belts or again around planet Earth for protection, that's physics. Seven seas, seven continents, you can see many sevens in this world. But the spiritual world, the real true world, has 10 sefirot. Keter, Chochma, and Bina, they belong to the world beyond. Okay, for us, this is the source of energy, the source of light. Because of relativity, when we are in the bottom, lower sefirot, and we look upwards, when we look at the upper three, Keter, Chochma, Bina, we can see only the bottom of it, which is Bina. And the Sefirah of Bina is number 8, as you see over here. Number 8 is a very important number because 7 is our world of perception, which means we can move with our thoughts to the right or to the left, forwards or backwards, that's 4. Up or down, that's 6. And there is the me, which is number 7, which is the center for all the other 6. So when we talk about our world, our perception, you look at the box and the box has 6 different sides, okay? And you in the box is number 7. Number 8, therefore, is beyond the physical consciousness. Therefore, number 8 is the number that symbolizes the out of the box. The part or the frequencies, consciousness that is beyond the senses and the logic of the 5 senses. It's called Sefirat Bina. It's also called Olam Beri'ah. I'm not going to go into it right now, but Olam Beri'ah and Sefirat Bina are two different ways to name that level that is the bottom of the upper three, the bottom of the divine Godhead, of the intense forces of creation, and our reality, which is more physical and therefore more dense, more covered. So we in this dimension, the physical dimension of the 7 aspects, we are not bombarded with energy that is too intense. Okay, however, Sefirat Bina is where all the lower 7 Sefirot are getting their life force from. Bina is where the light, it's like basically it's a power station that we live off, So whenever we speak about Bina, which is also numerical value, Chaim, life, all what is connected to real, the force of life, is Bina. So every time we break through the box, the consciousness of that box, of physicality, of limitation, of the logic of the senses, of materialism, of that aspect that is, there is only the body because what I see is what there is. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. That state of mind of materialism, that's under the number 7. Number 8 is breaking through and ascending much beyond. Okay, how is that connected to the number 63? And the answer is that 63 is the numerical value of the name of God when it's spelled out in this way that you see in front of you, that is Yud. The Yud is written Yud Vav Dalet, as you hear the name of the letter Yud. Hey, you write Hey and Yud. Vav is Vav, Aleph and Vav, Hey and Yud. This spelling out of the name of God has the numerical value of the number 63. It's also the frequency of Bina, which means when you want to connect to the force, to the frequency, to the enlightenment of Bina outside the box, beyond the materialistic perception, this is the meditation. These letters that you see in black in front of you, Yud, K, Vav, K, this is the meditation and the contemplation to reach that place, or it's not a physical place, to that realm of flow of life with all its forms, or the source of real spiritual life, light and life to that flows into our physical life. Now, this window, that ability is available during the month of Tishrei. Month of Tishrei, Libra, Moznaim, Sfirat Bina is also connected. The symbol for Bina is the ear. The ear, the organ in the head, which is called the ear. Okay, then the name of the sign of Libra is Moznaim. And the root of that word is ozen, an ear. Okay, which means that it's a hint that during the month of Tishrei, during those special days from the first of Tishrei till the 22nd, that we have the high holidays, as they call it in traditional Judaism. But during those high holidays, basically, we are ascending, elevating, connecting through prayers and other mitzvot to Bina, either through the shofar blowing and the prayers on Rosh Hashanah, either through the slichot during the days of Av, either through the fasting and the prayers and the shofar during Yom Kippur, or the sukkah and the lulav during Sukkot, or the celebration of Simchat Torah on the last day of this time. All of it, it's all devised in order to connect to the force of life, so the whole year long we can enjoy the results of our connection. And here comes the month of Kislev, and here we have again a symbol that here we have another connection to Sfirat Bina, which means in or during the month of Kislev, it's like we have a second chance to connect to the life force as we had. It's not the same intensity, it's not that intense, like in the month of Tishrei, but still we have an opportunity. And especially during the end of the month of Kislev, which is the 8 days of Hanukkah. 8 days? Why 8 days? A lot of sages are saying, if the story is that the Maccabees, if you don't know the story, Hanukkah is the celebration of the miracle that happened in the dedication, the second dedication of the second temple in Jerusalem, some 22 centuries ago. What does that mean? The Hellenistic Empire that was controlling the Levant, the Middle East at that time, they tried to stop any Jewish religious or spiritual actions. No study, no Shabbat, no circumcision, nothing. No Rosh Hashanah, no Yom Kippur. More than that, they took over the temple and made it a temple to their gods. So finally the Jews rebelled, and on the 25th day of Kislev, they liberated the temple in Jerusalem, and they relit the menorah, the candelabra, in the temple in Beit HaMikdash. They didn't find an oil for that. They looked a lot, and there was a miracle. They found, although the Hellenists, they desecrated all the oils, but they found one little jar of oil that was enough for less than a day burning. So they lit that oil, and it burned for 8 days. Many sages are saying, if that jar was enough for 1 day, the first day is not a miracle. The other 7 days are a miracle. Why are we celebrating 8 days? So all of these questioning of the idea, why eight? When you study Kabbalah, you realize that there's no question. The whole thing about that holiday was to reveal the opening, the cosmic opening to Bina, which is number eight, and therefore there are 8 days. And therefore one of the most famous songs, hymns of Hanukkah, that everybody sings around the world when they light the Hanukkah candles, is Ma'oz Tzur. That one of the lines of this song is Bnei Bina Yemei Shmona. The children of Bina, the days of eight, which means it's hinting that the 8 days connect to Sefirat Bina. So therefore, we have one thing that we understand: this month of Kislev, and especially the end of the month, the 8 days of Hanukkah, are basically having a special connection to out of the box creativity, innovation, and more than that, to real, true spiritual power. That means the ability to overcome materialism and the dungeon of being stuck in the five senses picture of a bodily consciousness. So now let's go into the simple understanding of what the month of Sagittarius is, what forces are generating this certain frequency of this month, what forces are basically this month is comprised of. So as we see, the month of Sagittarius is in the fall. It's the third month of the fall. The fall is represented by the Hebrew letter Vav from the Tetragrammaton, which is the Sefirah of Zeranpin. Whoever knows basic Kabbalah concepts, Zeranpin is connected to the element of the four elements. That's the element of air, which symbolize intellect and sensitivity, looking for balance. Okay, so there's all three signs of the fall. Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius are very, very, very smart, very fast thinkers. They're also very sensitive to injustice and imbalance. Okay, so that's a very important idea that that's what this month is about. Okay, that's number one. Then we see that, like every season, there is a division into three signs: Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, and that means right, left, and center. Right, left, and center. That's the Kabbalistic. That's a Kabbalistic division. While always right column is always an aspect of water, left column is aspect of fire, central column is aspect of air. So we have over here, if we look at Sagittarius, we realize it's the central column. So it is an air sign within the fall, which is also air. So we will see that in Sagittarius, there's a very dominant power of air, although it is also a fire sign, as everybody knows. If you learn conventional Western astrology, Sagittarius is a fire sign. It's not a contradiction. It just means it's a fire sign. However, under the fire, there's a lot of air. Therefore, if you look where, let's say, to the first fire sign in the year, which is Aries. Aries is double fire. If you look at the chart, so you see it's fire because it's in the spring, and all three signs of the spring are fire. In the core, it's a fire sign. It's also a fire sign. It's only and right column, which is also water. So it's double fire. Double fire, that means when you try to annoy, upset, or attack an Aries, expect an explosion. It's not going to go for free. Okay? You'll have a war. You want a war? You have a war. This is Aries. Okay? The other fire sign, which is Leo, it's a fire sign also because it's a second sign of the summer, so it's also double fire. Double fire and water. Okay? So here, you annoy a Leo, you have a war again. Okay? So be careful. But if you annoy a Sagittarius and you attack them, they don't attack back. They don't attack back. They don't because they have double air that more sensitive and are not so into fighting. Usually when you attack a Sagittarius, they'll retreat. They don't like to fight. They don't like to fight. And if they fight back, it's just like this is the lower level of Sagittarius, the archer. They shoot arrows at you of kind of remarks, and it's not really hurting. Okay? They're not, Sagittarius are never dangerous because it's one fire, double air. They're more into what air is about, the intellect, wisdom, knowledge, being there. Recreating themselves, being on the move, never mutable, never staying the same place. And so much air with fire, that's even fanning the fire. So that's why you see how energetic Sagittarius are, very, very highly energetic, but not in the mean of Aries and Leo, in the dangerous aspect. The last thing you can say about Sagittarius, that they're dangerous. Okay, can't say that it's not just because of that, it's more, but still, what you see over here, there is fire. It is a fire sign, but it's a central column of the fire. If you see, Aries is the right column of the fire signs, then Leo is the left column of the fire signs, and Sagittarius is the central column of the fire signs. So it's like a more, it's not a burning fire. They're not into revenge. When they get hurt, they're not holding the grudge and they're not going to give you pain. And they're not holding the grudge in a way to that you will feel the pain. No, they're not. Okay? They're more into, as I said, being free-spirited, always creating, always on the move, always doing good, only generating innovation and experiences, always on the go from one place to another. They love to travel. They love to change. They love the change. They love to invent. And so that's why they are in a totally different realm than the other two fire signs. Now, but that's not all about Sagittarius. You can go now also deeper into the meaning of a Sagittarius. And first of all, when you look at the letters combination of the tetragrammaton, you can see it over here. There's that we are talking about the tetragrammaton. It's the name of God, Yud and Hey, Vav and Hey. There are mathematically only 12 possible permutations of these four letters. Each one of them teaches us, the Zohar is teaching us, is representing another aspect of the 12 signs of the zodiac. The sign of the zodiac of Sagittarius is connected to the letter, the permutation Vav, Yud, He, and He. What do we learn from that? We see that the two male letters, the Vav and the Yud, they come early. They come first. The two female letters are coming later, which means the male energy in Sagittarius is very dominant. What is male energy? Energy, like pure energy, thinking, creativity, being there, moving, not accepting any yoke, which means it's about energy. The two female letters, the two Hays, are at the end, which means they are not that dominant. They're lethargic in the sign of Sagittarius. That's another aspect of showing us that the energy of this month is very male-like, which means men and women born in this month, energy, Kabbalistically, male energy means creativity, energetic, and being dominant, and not being passive, taking charge, taking the charging. Okay, so that's we're talking about energy. They're not into settling. They're not good. Let's say if you want to create a startup, a new venture, to innovate, Sagittarius are very good about it. You want to maintain a business that is already steady and is looking for stability and no shakes and no moves, Sagittarius are not good for businesses like this. No, not at all, okay? If it's all about stabilizing something that needs no shaking and no innovation, just maintenance, Sagittarius are horrible about jobs like this. They can't stand it. Here you need people that have a different kind of energy of developing something that is more stable, that needs stability and continuity. Okay, what else do we have over here? We have the name of the month, Kislev, that you write it, Kaf Samech, Lamed Vav. Many Kabbalists, mostly from the last 500 years, speak about the month of Kislev as dividing into two parts, Kes and Lev, Lamed Vav. Okay? Lamed Vav, the number Lamed Vav 36 is very important over here. Why? During Hanukkah, we light 36 candles without the Shamash. Okay, in every night of Hanukkah, we light one more candle, which means one candle on the first night, two on the second night, three on the third night, till we light eight candles on the eighth night. However, all those days we light one more candle, which is called the Shamash, the server, the servant. The Shamash is the candle that you light the other candles from. You also leave that light on because the light of the 1 to 8 candles is considered to be so high in its holiness, you're not supposed to use that light for any physical activity, which means you light the candle at night, so you can't use that light to see around and to cook or to do anything of a physical matter. So what if the lights in the house turn off because and any reason? The Shamash is there to cover up for the other candles. So how many lights do we really light on Hanukkah? If you make the calculation, one on the first night, two on the second night, and till eight on the eighth night, you get 36. The number 36 is very important because the legend is saying that when the world was created, the first thing that happened was, and God said, let there be light. Okay? But what kind of a light was it? Because the physical light was created only on the fourth day, because the sun, the moon, and the stars were created only on the fourth day. So the first light, where did that light come from? And the teachings are that this is not a physical light, this is the divine light. This is the light that basically runs the whole show. This is the light that is hidden in every creation. Without that light, there won't be any particles or atoms or creatures or anything. So the whole creation is alive because of that light that flows through the 10 sefirot into our physical dimension. The moment that light is turned off, it's like if we live in a computer simulation, okay? If we live in a sophisticated structure that is all frequencies, the moment you take the plug out, there's nothing. This is the light that permeates into everything and makes everything live. On Hanukkah, we have a special opportunity to reconnect to that original light of the creation. This is the light of life. This is the light of of everything, okay? But it can come to this world in a very pure form once a year during the 8 days of Hanukkah, and it comes down to this world only for half an hour every night of Hanukkah after lighting the candles. So that's why the tradition is that you light the candles, you sit around the candles for half an hour, you sing, you eat, whatever, and then you go because this light is so high, it cannot come down to a physical reality and stay more than half an hour. Okay, so you have that light that is by the number 36, that the legend says, that light was shining for 36 hours. 36 hours till it has been concealed. Okay, now, so that's called also the treasured light, O Haganuz. So what's the first two letters? Kaf Samich, Kes. Kes in Hebrew is a magical if you know Kabbalah, Kaf and Samech, they mean a vessel. If the Vlamed Vav symbolize the 36 hours of the shining of the pure light, the light that will be revealed only after the Messianic or during the Messianic days, when humanity is finally free from the bondage of materialism, stupidity, evil, hatred, and all of that stuff that comes with the bondage to materialism and the physical body. Okay, so that's a Lamed Vav. But what is the Kaf Samech? Kaf Samech appears many times. For instance, when we want to make a blessing over the wine, we use a cup. In Hebrew, kos. Okay? Kos. Kos is what conceals the fluid, the wine, and without the cup, there's no vessel to hold the wine. It will be spread and then becomes meaningless when it falls on the floor and no one can use it. When we celebrate a circumcision, Brit Milah, and we want the energy, the power of Elijah the prophet, we put a chair, kise. Okay? The kise is the vessel to contain the spiritual power of Elijah the prophet. When we have the fifth cup of the Seder night poured for Elijah the prophet, so the word kiss is coming from kiss. It's a pocket. It's a vessel. It's something, a chair. It's something, it's a vessel to hold on. Something that without the vessel, that something has no, it's too fluid, so you can't contain it. There's no container. Okay? So when we say Kislev, many Kabbalists said this is the month that has the vessel to contain the upper magical light of the creation that is mentioned in chapter 1 in Genesis. So that means that this month is a month that is full of magical light, and especially that ability to connect beyond just the physicality. Therefore, it's another reason why the holiday of Hanukkah, which is the symbol of the fight between the Hellenistic civilization that was and still is just about physical matter, and when it speaks about the mind, it's about philosophy, that the human brain can figure out everything. Okay? While the other aspect is the spiritual light of the world beyond, which is basically what Judaism is about, okay, or monotheism is about, which is that the human being is the only creature that has the ability to connect through his actions and thinking to connect soul and body, spirit and physicality, spirituality and practicality, heaven and earth. That is a huge fight that is lasting for millennia already. It's still happening as we speak, because still the world is in a big fight between that school that says what you see is what you get. There's only physicality, and human logic is basically understanding of finally, sooner or later, we will understand all aspects of reality. While the Abrahamic teachings of monotheism is there is reality, but reality is only a stamp, okay, of a greater reality of 10 dimensions. And if you do not take the rest of the dimensions into consideration, you'll be missing the big picture. You will never be able to connect the dots properly, because reality is made of 10 dimensions. Our five senses can see only some branches of that huge reality. Well, while the soul is more powerful and more dominant in a human life than his body. The body is only a physical manifestation of the soul. So when you deny the soul, when you deny the magical divine light of the creation, when you deny all dimensions of reality beyond the five senses and the logic of the five senses, you will live a life of lies, emptiness, and void that will always end with bitter life of not being fulfilled forever, which is very cursed. It's very cursed life. Okay, so that is the whole thing about the month of Kislev. Is an amazing month for that, because on one hand there is a logic. So Sagittarius are very good into philosophy, thinking, and so on. But beyond the philosophy, there must be the real spirituality, which philosophy cannot give answers to. And real spirituality means the urge of a human being to be beyond the body, the senses, something greater than life, something of divine nature. Okay, now let's finish with few more important, very important aspects about this this month. We see that we have the letter Gimel of Jupiter. Oh, before that, before I forget, the 12 tribes of Israel, each one of them is a symbol for one of the 12 signs. There are two ways to look at the tribes and the zodiac signs. One is by the order of their birth, and the other one is by the order of their camping in the desert, the Book of Numbers. We'll use first the order of birth. By the order of birth, which is one system, is Naphtali. Naphtali, the tribe of Naphtali, where it says about him, Naphtali Ayala Shlucha. Naphtali is a fast gazelle, which means whoever knows Sagittarius, they are fast. They're moving fast, the air and the fire, always moving fast, they're always on the go, and they will be thinking fast and doing things in a fast manner. Lots of energy. That's Naphtali. And also good nature. And the good nature, that comes also to understanding that Jupiter, what's Jupiter and Sagittarius mean in the spiritual world. So when we come to that aspect, the Zohar is teaching us that in the name of 42 letters, known as the prayer of the Ana Bekoach, that prayer has 7 lines, 6 words in each line, and what's important is the initials, okay, the acronym. The second acronym, Kuf Resh Ayin Sin Tet Nun, when we meditate on this one, we enter, the Zohar teaches us, the window, that's why it's called Chalon, a window that opens for us, so we have better control over this physical reality. When you open that window of Kuf Resh Ayin Sin Tet Nun, you can have control over the letter Gimel, that is the frequency of planet Jupiter, Tzedek in Hebrew. Okay? The letter Gimel. What does the letter Gimel stands for? Gimel comes from Gomel, rewarding. Gomel Dalim, rewarding the poor. You see that the letter Gimel is made of a Vav, if you know the Hebrew letters, that's a Vav, and a letter Yud stuck to it at the bottom. The letter Gimel symbolizes, therefore, the great light of God, that is the letter Yud, that comes down with the letter Vav, that is the conduit, in order to share, to reward, ligmol, whoever is in a lack. Therefore, planet Jupiter symbolizes a lot of light, a lot of positive energy, bliss, and you see that on the left, happiness, bliss, speed, energetic, creativity, spiritual growth, open-minded for learning, miracles, good fortune, and outside of the box. That all of this is positive, positive energy. That's what the letter Gimel is about. Therefore, whoever has an influence of Jupiter has that amazing forces of good fortune and bliss and so on and so forth. However, we have to remember that Jupiter is just a conduit. What if the person, because of his wrongdoings, is connected to negativity, then the Gimel will be a conduit of negativity. So it doesn't mean that it's going to be always only good, but it means, for instance, the Hellenistic colonials, when they enter Jerusalem and took over the temple, that was also 25 of Kislev, Sagittarius. So why was it? We'll see. But the letter Gimel is about bliss and the feeling of feeling that you usually have in rich places. You've born to a rich family, you live in a rich country, the feel of plenty and safety, and everything is great and it's going to be great. This is the energy of, this is the frequency of the letter Gimel and therefore Jupiter. Okay? This letter Gimel controls of Jupiter, Sagittarius and Pisces. Okay? We also can see that Pisces, the month of Adar, it was supposed to be a great, the story of Purim, was supposed to be in the month of Adar, a big genocide. By decree, it has been decreed that all the Jews in the Persian Empire have to be executed, murdered, killed, no matter what way, in one day, in Adar, the 13th of Adar. And the miracle was that the Jews got on their feet and fought back and won. Okay, which means that could be also a great disaster. The same thing, the great disaster was in Hanukkah 3 years earlier when the Greeks desecrated the temple. So we understand it's not only good. Jupiter is basically the funnel for whatever is there in the bucket. Okay, you put good, that what comes out. You put negative, that what comes out. Okay, now, but usually it is the aspect that there is plenty, and therefore you see that people of the sign of Sagittarius, they have a lot of good luck playing. You see that there's a lot of good luck playing for them. And that means that in a way they could look like they are careless. That's a negative aspect of irresponsible. Why? It's going to be okay. On what base? So let's say if we take like signs like Scorpio, that is before Sagittarius, or Capricorn, that is after Sagittarius, that are super, super responsible because they know there's no good luck. You work really hard and you take full control, you'll make it happen. So they are control maniacs. I'm talking about Scorpio and Capricorn. Sagittarius is not into control. He knows it's going to be okay. In a way that it can scare the other two. So just to say about the relationship between Sagittarius and those two, for instance, but they look, many other people look at Sagittarius as careless because they know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. On what basis? You don't look worried at all. Yeah. They are not worried. That's not their thing to be worried. They know they're going to work hard, they're going to do it, and it's going to happen easily. There's another thing about this month. We didn't speak about the letter Samech. We'll finish with that. The letter Samech is, according to the Zohar of Parashat Bereshit, no, it's the introduction to the Zohar, that speaks about the Hebrew letters. There's an amazing article about it. The letter Samech means in Hebrew support. Support. Okay, so what does that mean? So the Zohar explains when a person is making a huge, grave mistake and there's a collapse, there's a cause and effect. And now that person is deep, deep in the hole, deep, deep in the dungeon, in the darkness. He fell all the way down, crash landing. Okay? The normal result or the logical result will be, I made a big mistake. It's over. It's a terrible mistake. It's over. It's like, what can I do? I mess it up. There's no hope anymore. And it's over. That will be, the result will be death. There is a force in this universe that the letters Samech represent that come somehow, this force of the letter Samech has the ability to cover up the failure. It's that aspect that makes you feel it's not that bad. Now, there are two results for that Samech. One, if it's not that bad, the purpose of that force of letter Samech that God created is if it's not that bad, get up and try all over again. Therefore, when we speak about Sagittarius, which is all about innovation, creativity, getting out of the box, do what's impossible, do what nobody else did, okay? Because of that energy of fire and air, and the letter Gimel of Jupiter, trusting and believing it's going to be okay. Why? Because the world is good, and the world is positive as God is good, which means the religion of Sagittarius is about the loving God, not like some others that, oh, God is punitive. That's another aspect, but that's not Sagittarius. The Samech is, oh, God loves me anyway, which means I'll try all over again. He'll forgive me because I'm here to succeed. I'm beloved child of God. That's a very positive aspect, and that's a very good spirit of the month of Sagittarius. And that's a whole basic ground beyond repentance, which repentance means not like in the English way. In Hebrew is teshuva, means reconnection. Why would, what kind of justification you have for reconnection? Because God created me to connect to Him. So if I'm disconnected, I have to try all over again till I make it, because I was created. I'm meant for the good. That's a very Sagittarius thing. That's a very it's a time for all of us during this month to reconnect to godliness, to reconnect to the fact that more than we want to succeed, the Creator wants us to succeed, which means optimism, happiness, creativity, innovation, trying again and again till you make it right. And again, out of the box means what? I know it's going to be successful. How exactly? I have no idea. And I'm not going to tell God how to do it. Because, innovation is basically invention, innovation, invention, Inspiration. You notice it's all about in. It's bringing it in from outside the box. From where? From Bina. From the eighth dimension. From that place that is beyond. How it's going to be? It's going to be good. How exactly? We'll see when we get there. That's how you solve problem in a positive way. The downside of the letter Samech is, if it's not that bad, so why changing it? So that brings to some Sagittarius that become complacent, which means someone, something will save me from that. I don't know how, I'm not going even to try, because it's not that bad. It's not that horrible. Irresponsibility. So, or the lack of the desire to really make waves, because they don't have a mean bone. If there's so much positivity in Sagittarius, they have a real problem to stand up for themselves, because they might hurt somebody. Okay, that's not Aries, that's not Leo, that's a totally different fire sign, you know? Then when they're really pushed to the wall, they start to shoot the arrows. When you talk about Keshet as the arch of the archer, so that's the lower aspect of Sagittarius. When they start to be hurtful, which means that when they speak in a tactless manner that hurts other people, it means that they are in distress and they have no idea how to get there, because they don't have the courage to get out, to say no, to step up, and to make a declaration. I'm going there no matter what. Okay? Then it's another aspect. It's called Keshet, not as the arch, but the rainbow. It's not the bow, it's the rainbow. If the flood happened on the month of Cheshvan, Scorpio, then the rainbow came out in the month of Keshet. And the rainbow is a symbol of hope and another chance, no matter what. We can talk more about it. Still, I think, in a way, we summarize that this is a month full of great opportunities to use the positivity, to risk, move out of the box, and look for the hidden light in our lives, and by this get more positivism and optimism. Thank you so much.